Okay, morning. Today's daf is Lamed Vav and Brachos. We are on the back end of Lamed Hey Amed Beis, and we start the topic of, get ready, Brachos. Meaning, as we have already discussed now, basically yesterday we made a turn in the Masechta. In the first half of the Masechta, we talked about the mitzvahs of Shema and Tefillah, but now as we start the sixth parak of Brachos, daf Lamed Hey, so now we're starting the mitzvah of Brachos. Yesterday for Lamed Hey Amed Aleph, we spent the entire Amud learning where the source of brachas come from. Is there a pasuk in the Torah that speaks to the idea that we need to make a bracha on our food? So the Gemara had a long discussion, lasted almost nearly an amud, and the conclusion of the Gemara is it's not a daraisa. The idea of making a bracha before we eat food is not a mitzvah daraisa. It's a derabanan, but it's a svara. It's a very strong svara. And the svara of the Gemara is that asala adon la'anos. Let me quote correctly so that towards the bottom of the amud. A person's forbidden from getting any type of benefit in this world without making a bracha. So bracha Rishon, so the Gemara concludes, is a derabanan. Okay, but it's, Gemara speaks in extraordinarily strong language about how significant it is to make a bracha Rishon. Now bracha achrona, so benching is for sure daraisa. I suggested yesterday maybe alamichya is daraisa, that's subject to debate amongst the Rishonim. Okay, bar nefashos, probably not, probably derabanan. Okay, but that was the Amud Aleph. And then Amud Beis, of which we did a lot of yesterday. See, Amud Beis went on to a little bit of more hashkafic discussions about how to be miyashi various psukim. It started with, you know, there's a stira la'ashem ha'aretz meloa, and the pasuk also says ha'shamayim shamayim la'ashem. Va'aretz lasan livnei adam. So how does that work? Kan kodem bracha, kan la'acha bracha. So before the bracha, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then after the bracha, it all belongs to you. And then as long as we were being miyashiv stiras and psukim, so then we were miyashiv other stiras and psukim. For example, yesterday, lo yamush haTorah, sefer haTorah zeh mipicha. In other words, you're not supposed to stop learning. You know, you're continuously supposed to learn all the time. And then there's this thing called, right, and then there's this thing called work. Right, so how do you do that? So how do you balance work and learning? So two approaches of the Gemara we saw yesterday. Rabbi Shmuel says both. You work and you learn. You learn and you work. You do both. And Rashbi says no. You just learn. As far as work is concerned, as far as Parnassus is concerned, so it will come. That was the other discussion that we had in the Gemara yesterday. But now we go back to the topic of brachas, the issues of brachas, and we are continuing now. We are chutz min hayayin. Okay, except for wine. Two dots on Lamed Hey Amud Beis, and Hilchos Brachos today, all day. So, Maishla Yayin, so the Gemara says, now, wine. What makes wine so unique? What makes it so different? So the Gemara says, look, I'll tell you why. Because what happens is that you have a grape. A grape is a fruit. Okay, it's a fruit. But then what happens is that you crush it, you ferment it, it becomes wine. Oh, that's exciting. So it could be, says the Gemara, that every time you process it and you improve it, so therefore it's entitled to a brand new bracha. So the Gemara says, "Vare shemen dishan lului velishan lebracha." So the Gemara says, "But that's not true because you have oil, olive oil, and olive oil. You make an olive into olive oil. Now, isn't that an improvement?" But the bracha doesn't change. When you sit down to drink a nice cup of olive oil, a refreshing cup of olive oil, so then the bracha is bar pra'et. So Amri Hasam Mishum Delefshar. So the Gemara says, well, it's a technical issue, suggests the Gemara. Because Heichin Nivrich, Nivrich Bar Pri Hazayis. So you can't, the bracha you're going to make is what? Bar Pri Hazayis? So perigufe zayis sikre. So the Gemara says the fruit itself is called a zayis. V'nivrech la bori pri eats zayis. So now what are you going to say? Bori pri eats zayis. Just in other words, the Gemara says it's just on a technical standpoint. We have no other bracha to make other than bori pri eats.
Why not?
I guess it's just. I don't know the what makes that particular nusach so inappropriate. I'm not sure why the Gemara just doesn't
sound good.
It doesn't sound right. It's a fair question. So Elam Amarzutra Chamayayin. I'm sorry, Chamar Zayin Mashkelo Zayin. So the Gemara goes through a different path altogether, and the Gemara says like this. Now look, there's a basic difference between wine and oil, because wine satiates you. Oil doesn't satiate. So the Gemara says, "Mashkal Zayin." The Gemara says, "Is that even true?" V'hatanan ano debenamazam motibemayma v'melach. The Gemara says like this: you make a neder and you say, "I'm not going to eat anything that would satiate me." Okay, the person wants to diet, wants to encourage himself to make a diet, so he makes a neder and he says, "I pledge right with the force of a neder, I want anything that satiates me." Before I go on. So what can he consume? Water, salt. Okay, that's a terrible diet. Okay, it's a terrible idea. But okay, leave my commentary out of this discussion. So the Gemara says like this: Vavina ba mayno melchu delo ikre mazon hakom mele ikre mazon. So name it to Avdi Dufte Rav Shmuel Darmi Ein Mevarchem Bari Minim Mazon Sel Behemim Bavad. Now, the word mazon only applies to anything which is made out of the five grains. So why are we talking about all foods except for water and salt when mazon should be limited only to the five grains? At least that's what Rav and Shmuel tell us. So the Gemara says, we're going to change the neder. The neder wasn't mazon. The neder was called hazan alai. Anything that's going to sustain me, anything that's going to nourish me. So what do you see? That outside of water and salt, all of the foods nourish and sustain. So the Gemara says that you see that wine is sustained. Olive oil sustains. So ela chamra saidu mashkalo side. So the Gemara says like this. Okay. We are still going to note that there's a difference between wine and oil. Wine is so'ed. Now so'ed is one step beyond zayin. Zayin means it nourishes you. But you don't like really sit down to a meal. Wine will sit down. Now, I'm not describing myself. But we'll sit down and we'll have a meal made up of wine. Sure, maybe I'll add some cheese to it. Okay, but in other words, we'll have a meal of wine. Wine, you can make a seuda over. But you don't do that over olive oil. There's no seuda over olive oil. So there's a chashivas component of wine, which therefore warrants it to have its own unique bracha. That's not true by oil. Oil, it's true, it sustains you. But it's not so'ed. Rava on Erev Pesach had the following practice. He would drink a lot of wine on Erev Pesach. I'm talking about the day before, right? In other words, not the night of. Night of, we all drink. Right, no. The day of Erev Pesach, he would drink a lot of wine because it increases your appetite. So the Gemara says something which is counterintuitive, and I know, but the Gemara says, Tuva garir purta sa'id. Drinking a lot of wine whets your appetite, excites your appetite. Drinking a little bit of wine satisfies and satiates. Okay? Now I know I have a couple of connoisseurs of wine in this room, not myself. I'm not a drinker at all. I'm a terrible drinker, which is a good thing. So the Gemara says that wine and little increments is something which not only nourishes you, but it's seuda like, and therefore warrants its own bracha. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk in Tehillim sounds like bread is the seuda, but not wine. Wine makes you happy. Bread actually is a seuda. So the Gemara explains like this: Namu desaid chamer lo said, ella chamer is beitarte. So Gemara says, no, you're not reading the pasuk correctly. So let's go over the pasuk again and let's better explain what the pasuk is driving at. When you have wine, wine really has two components to it. It's said umisameach. It both satisfies you, but more than satisfies you, it's meal like, and it makes you happy. Nahama misatzayt smuchalom misamich. Now, when you sit down for bread, so you know you're sitting down for a meal, but is it going to make you happy? Not like wine. So yahachi never chalav shlosh brachos. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, we have it. We're almost done. So wine is seuda like. It's more than just zan. It's soed, and so therefore it demands its own bracha, which is bari priya gafen. Wonderful. Now that it demands its own bracha, so because it's so'ed, so why don't you bench? Right. That's now what the Gemara wants to know. Benching should seem to be appropriate. Lo kabai inshe su'daisa ilave. So the Gemara says like this, kviya su'da. That in other words, the format and formula for benching after you eat is that you have to eat something which sustains you, which is a su'da, and that you have to be koveya su'da. Meaning we have to sit down and say, we are going to eat a meal over it. It's a state of mind. So when you sit down for wine, wine does provide this, not just nourishing, but it provides seuda, but we're not koveya. We never sit down and say, let's have wine together as our meal. It's a state of mind. So so the Gemara now asks the obvious question. So if everything's contingent on it being a state of mind, so what if we change our state of mind? Meaning, what if we do sit down together and say, let's dine together over a cup of wine? What if we are koveya suda? So Amalei Rav Nachman writes to the Ravi, koveya la suda samai. So okay, the Gemara asks exactly this question. So Amalei lechishiyavo Eliyahu v'yomer ihavi kiviyasei. So let's wait for Eliyahu. Meaning that's a really good question, but really Eliyahu is not one going to be answering that. But hashtamia bat ladaita etzel kol adam. But right now, what I would say is, he's weird. Such an individual is a weird person. No one's koveya suuda over wine, and you want to offer me somebody who is koveya suuda? Okay, he's really, he's not the norm. It's not normative practice, and so therefore, what he does is not going to affect the basic halacha that no, you do not bench after drinking a little bit of wine together. Okay, gufa. All right, so we have now in our Gemara a basic explanation. Wine, grape is bari priya eitz, when turned into wine, it's bari priya gafen. So it demands its own bracha. Why? So the Gemara says, because what happens with wine is that it improves, it nourishes, and it has a seuda-like feature to it. And so therefore it gets a bari priya gafen. But when it comes to olives turning into olive oil, so no major change. Meaning, yes, it's true, the olive oil nourishes you, but so does the olive. And in terms of seuda, it doesn't. You don't have a seuda over olive oil. You don't sit down and say, "Hi, let's have a glass of olive oil together." No, that doesn't happen. Certainly, you're not koveya seuda. So therefore, when you drink the olive oil, you're only going to make a boy praise. Now, for all the people in this room who are thinking to themselves, you know, we've just been speaking 15 minutes about drinking olive oil, right? Has that man lost his mind? And the answer pretty much is yes. Okay, but for other reasons. That has nothing to do with the Gemara. Meaning, but yes, we just had a discussion with the Gemara about drinking olive oil straight. To which now the Gemara says, what? So, Gufa Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmo, V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shemen Zayis, Mevarchan, Bar Pre'etz. So when you drink olive oil, you're going to make a Bar Pre'etz. So, Hechidami. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Drinking olive oil? So, Ile Medikash Shasi Le Azuke Mazikle. So drinking olive oil straight, that's not good. Right? That, the Gemara says it doesn't help, it only hurts you. It's mazik. And Tanya, and the Gemara says, and just in case you didn't know this just from living on this planet, the Gemara says, let me explain this to you halachically. Because I show us the Shaman Shal Truma, Mishamas a Kermain, Mishamas a Chamish. Let's say I go over to my friendly neighborhood, Kohen, right? I have him right here. I brought him in just for the purpose of demonstration. And he has Truma olive oil, and I take his Truma olive oil, and I drink his Truma olive oil. Now, one thing you need to know is that when I take a Kohen's Truma and I eat it, so I have to pay him not only the principal amount of the Truma that I ate, but I also have to add a chomish on top of it as well. 25%, my math is not wrong in this case, 25% in addition to the principal value. Okay, it's a kapara, it's a kanas, whatever, however you want to say it. Good. If I went over and I drink Truma olive oil, I only have to pay the principal, I don't have to pay the chumash, says the Braisa. And why not? The reason is because that's not drinking. Drinking olive oil is not drinking. That I cannot be called a consumer if all I imbibed is just olive oil. What I can be called is a thief, meaning because I took Truma that didn't belong to me, that belonged to the Kohen, and I will say drank it, but more halachically, I destroyed it. Right? It's no longer here. So I'm a mazik, so I'll have to make restitution over the fact that I'm a mazik, but I don't pay the chomish because I didn't drink it. There's no such thing as drinking olive oil, meaning you can imbibe it, but that's not drinking. That's not a chila. So halachically now we know there's no such thing as drinking olive oil. So now if that's the case, so once again, you're going to make a bar priates. So ela de ka'achle al yidei pas. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what you did, and in the nice restaurants they do this, right? In Argentina, this is so popular. So they give you a bowl of olive oil, and then you take the bread and you dip in the olive oil, and that's it. And enjoy. But the Gemara says, so you know you're not going to be making a bracha over the olive oil. Okay, so later on in the Masechta, in our parak, we're going to learn. In our parak? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. In our parak, we're going to learn Iker v'tafel. So if I have two foods and I'm eating the two foods together, and I look at what the main is and what the ancillary is. If I'm dipping bread into olive oil, obviously the bread is the ikar and the olive oil is the tuffel. I will not be making a bracha at all over the olive oil. So we're back to square one. Give me a scenario where I'm drinking olive oil. When is that happening? So hachel pasiv v'hu tuffel v'tanaz ha'kol k'shu ikar v'imo tefillah m'verachal ikar potas ha'tefillah. Ella, sorry, last line of the Amud, dikashasti le ayidei anigron. So the Gemara says, olive oil with your borscht. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel anigron maya de silka. Rabba Bar Shmuel says, an anigron, what is anigron? Just first of all, we're just identifying. So it is borscht, right? Cooked beets. Okay. It's my mother's favorite. And on sigron, maya de kulushalke. And there's something called on sigron or ach sigron, however you want to pronounce it correctly. But that's basically any other type of thick vegetable soup. Okay.
Okay, fine.
Understood. But this is eating practices of the 5th century. This is old fashioned. The kul shak imken avle anigron nikar v'shem tafel. The Gemara says, okay, that doesn't help our cause right now. We're trying to figure out a scenario where I'd be not only drinking olive oil, but making a bracha over the olive oil. If I'm adding it to the borscht, but the borscht is still the ikar. So havalei anigra ikar v'shem and tafel v'tanaz zeklal kolshu ikar v'imot tefela mevarachal ikar potos l'tefela. Hacha b'mayaskina. So the Gemara says, okay, perhaps we're doing the following. We're gargling olive oil. B'choshesh b'grono. A person has a throat that's just killing him. And so he's gargling. And he's gargling the olive oil. D'tanya choshesh b'grono lo yirana b'shemen t'chila b'shabbos. Now, gargling with olive oil on Shabbos, no. Don't do it. Okay? You know, I know, and Rashi over here reminds us that refuah is asar on Shabbos. Now, let's make this clear. If a person's life is in jeopardy, or even if it's a safek, so obviously a mechal Shabbos. But if it's just an irritation that a person experiences on Shabbos, so he cannot do any type of refuah to alleviate the irritation, because the Rabbanim goes there because of schikas samamanim, because of the grinding of the spices that were typically done in order to create the medicine. Okay. And not only are you not allowed to grind, but grinding is an issur daraisa, but any form of refuah becomes asur. So you can't gargle with olive oil because that's clearly done refuah. Avonosin shemen harbe lesoch anigron uvolea. But here's what you could do. Add a lot of olive oil into the borscht so that there is excessive amount of olive oil. And then you can not only gargle this wonderful blend of borscht and olive oil, gargle and swallow it. So the Gemara says that would be the scenario. I know it took us a while to get to this point, but that would be a scenario where I'd be imbibing olive oil. So in other words, you understand we're doing, the case is so bizarre. We're doing it on Shabbos. We're adding extra olive oil because really we want the beneficial, the medicinal purposes of the olive oil, but we're adding it to borscht so that I don't violate the issur d'rabbanan of refuah on Shabbos. Okay, complex scenario, but the basic point of the Gemara is we have a case where I'm drinking olive oil. And now what was the bracha? Bori Pri Eitz. So the Gemara says, Pshita k'mau d'tema kem d'lefru k'mechavin lo livre chalei klal k'mash malan. So the Gemara says it's important to realize that there's a chiddush over here. Because I might have thought like this. You know why I'm really drinking olive oil right now? Because my throat's killing me. And I really just want the olive oil just so I can have relief of my throat. You might have thought maybe no bracha is warranted whatsoever. Should make a bracha. Because I'm not really drinking it for the purpose of drinking it. I'm drinking it simply because my throat's killing me. So the Gemara says, Kevin de Isle Hana Minei by Bruche. Gemara says, it doesn't matter. If you eat a food where even though the purpose of you eating the food is really medicinal at heart, but because you're benefiting from it, so therefore you need to make a bracha. Right? Let's say that's the extra chiddush learned from this particular case.
What about candy flavored medicine?
Yeah, good question. Okay, thank God we have a Rabbi in Urshel. So, thank God. So he directed to him. So the I'm not a postic by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't.
It's the olive oil, though. Is it fair to say that today, if we were to drink it, it's more like a shall call because it's.
I mean, the Gemara says that it didn't change. The bracha didn't change. All right, so there are two basic points now that we got from this Gemara. Number one is that when you drink olive oil, the bracha is bar pre-eitz, meaning the fact that it went through additional processing didn't do anything for it, meaning it didn't change it. Of course, it turned it from a solid fruit to a liquid, but it's basically olive oil liquefied. I'm sorry, olives liquefied. So therefore, it's the bracha maintains it's a bar pre-eitz. And furthermore, that regarding olive oil, for that matter, any food, even if your primary purpose is eating the food is for some medicinal benefit, but as long as you're benefiting from it, so a bracha is demanded. Okay, those are the two big points that come out from our Gemara over here. And yes, by the way, Aaron's correct, meaning there's a lot of halachic practical ramifications, but my job over here is just to present the Gemara and the Daf and take away some of the basic takeaway points. Halacha l'maisa, you'll speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay, kamche dechite. Okay, now the Gemara has a discussion about eating flour. Now this is a tough discussion to have. Meaning, let's go over the basics. Okay, kernels of wheat. Right, if I want to eat a kernel of wheat, now eating a kernel of wheat in my lifetime, I've not done that. Raw, straight off the ear, you can't do it. Okay, I haven't done it. I don't think it's doable. Well, what do? You could toast it. You can cook it. You can boil it. Okay, in other words, there's a lot of things you could do with it in order to make it edible. The Gemara over here, the way it sounds like the Gemara is talking, it's talking about flour, eating raw flour. Now, again, that's something which basically, to me, seems impossible, right? Try it at home. I mean, don't try it. But I'm saying, you know what I mean. In other words, the Gemara now is having a discussion about eating raw flour. Now,
freshly milled and moist.
Now, it's funny, because later this morning, we're going to talk about like ginger, which is moist ginger. As opposed to dry ginger. Meaning dry ginger, you can't eat. Moist ginger, I mean, thank God we have sushi. I mean, we understand. Moist ginger, we understand. So that discussion is going to happen later on this morning. So right now, in the flour discussion, we're just talking about wheat flour. So Tosus does suggest that we're not talking about just plain ground flour. It's just hard to imagine. Take a look at the third Tosus on the Amud. Nira de lomayri bekimcha mamish, dimkein lo shaykh bebracha, dabari priadama. Elamayri bekimcha shikarin. Okay, Phil, you want to help me over here? Isklatir. Okay. I pronounced it probably terribly. Eklatir? Okay. O bekemich shosin mishibol shual, shemeyashvim etanur. Okay, or it's maybe, says Tosus, we're talking about dry roasted. Kernels of oats. Okay, dried oats. Toasted oats. Okay.
I mean, granola.
Okay, Now, to which now the Gemara has the following discussion. Now, if I have actual grains of wheat, and I toast it, or I prepare it in any way. But in other words, we're not talking about grinding and milling and turning into bread. Then it's hamotzi. We're just basically talking still about the actual grain. The bracha is going to be bar pri adama. Here, we're discussing where it was somehow processed. Now, again, I know I just read Tosfos. Okay. Right?
It may mean popped.
Like I know.
So,
right.
So
right.
Pops, like
right. Understand, by the way, this Gemara over here becomes so important in terms of like our cereal discussion. I told you at the beginning of the parak, I have this like magnet on my fridge where like for every cereal it tells you which bracha it is. You really got to know, first of all, you got to know this Gemara. That's the starting point. And then you got to know how every cereal is actually processed. So there's a lot of information to know in order to make brachas correctly. So kimcha dechita. So today our purpose will be just to get through the Gemara. Rav Yehuda mar bar pri adam, Rav Nachman mar shakol niyeh bedvaro. Okay, so disagreement amongst the Amoraim, what the proper bracha is. Rav Yehuda says you should make a bar pri adam, meaning it's a grain. It's a grain. It's how did we describe it yesterday in the Mishnah? It's peirei da'aretz, fruit of the ground. Okay, and the Mishnah told us that you make a bar pri adam. And Rav Nachman says, no, it's shahakol. So Amalei Rav Nachman, lo tiflagal ad Rav Yehuda. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I'm going to caution you, don't argue with Rav Yehuda. Now, knowing Rav Nachman the way we do, throughout the Daf Yomi, we know that Rav Nachman is a very independent thinker, not usually bothered by what others have to say. But in this particular case, Rava says, I caution you, don't argue with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yochanan Shmuel Kami Kava say, because I'm telling you that he has unbelievable support by both Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehuda. Da'am Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chenam Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shemen Zayis Mevarchlam Bar Priya Eitz. Because look what happens. I take an olive and I turn it to olive oil, bracha remains the same. So now, I'm going to take a grain and I'm going to process it a little bit, not turn it into bread, but process it a little bit, bracha remains the same. So here also, I'm taking the grain and I'm processing it a little bit, but so what? Gemara says, mi dami. Interesting now. The Gemara says, terrible comparison. Because, hasam leisle iluve achrina. Because, when you go from olive to olive oil, that's it. Meaning there's no longer any further step down the road. Olive oil is the end of the processing road. So now it maintains. The bracha will maintain. But hacha isle levina achrina bepas. But when I go from the wheat kernel, or according to Tosfos, the oat kernel, and I then further process it, I'm not finished. When am I finished? Bread. Meaning the ultimate of any type of grain, of the five grains, is to turn it into a bread. So right now I'm in the middle of the process. So like Rashi explains, I want to read Rashi inside. Rashi says, Hilkach, Yatza Miklal Pri, Ulechlal Derech Achilasa Lo Ba. You see, now this grain is in limbo. When it was a grain plucked straight out of the ground, and plucked off its ear, so then it's a pre. It has the status of fruit. Fruit over here, don't think fruit of a tree. Fruit of the ground, which means Bar Pri Adama. And so at that point in time, the bracha would have been Bar Pri Adama. When it gets to the final destination, which is bread, it's going to be Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz. But when we're talking now about in the middle, says Rashi, it's limbo. So now that it's in limbo, it's not a pre, it's not yet bread, so therefore Shahakal. Rashi continues. Aval Hashem miyad ba bishinav lechal derech achilaso v'ikur hapri lekach nitau hilkach prihu. But when I make when I plant olives, I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait. Can't wait till what? Till I pluck the olives and make olive oil. Meaning the whole purpose of planting the olive tree is for the purposes of olive oil. So therefore, I can look at the olive oil and say, yes, that's a product of the ground. That's a fruit of the ground, because that's our original intent when we planted the olive. Yes, again, I know. Again, halacha maisa, which I don't want to. I'm gonna dip my toe in the halacha maisa, but then I'm just gonna quickly run away. But in other words, but you know, you see where
different olives,
we could be making the same argument by orange juice, oh. Right? In other words, when right here in Florida, right? It's big state product. So when they plant the orange trees, so what do they have in mind? Meaning they're saying to themselves, we don't care about the fruit. What we're looking forward to is making it and juicing it. So if you're employing this type of argument that in the original intent of planting is to make the olive oil, and therefore it's Bar Priya Eitz, so you can make that same argument by the orange juice, where they're planting it for the purposes of juice, and so therefore when you drink the orange juice, it would be Bar Priya Eitz. We don't. Our typical bracha is to make shahakol. So good. So I dip my toe in the world of halach lamaisa, but now I'm running and we're going ahead in the Gemara.
But the orange and olives are different types. You know, some are made just for juice.
Correct, correct,
oil,
correct, correct. Okay. Okay. Umi gara, we're going to go on in the Gemara. Did I skip a little bit? Sure I did. Okay, let me not. Okay, fine. I'm Rabbi Zeira. We're in the Gemara, we're in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're about a third of the way down. I'm Rav Masna, I'm Shmua. Akra Chaya, V'kimcha Desar, Mevarachna Lasha Kol Nei Bedvaro. Raw pumpkin. Okay. And barley, which is reduced into flour. So the correct bracha is Shakol Nei Bedvaro. So now, raw pumpkin obviously is not edible. And so if you eat something which is really not that edible, now when I say not edible, I mean most people don't eat it, so then you're not going to make a bird priya eitz, you're going to make a shahakol, right? Orange peel, right? For those out there who enjoy eating orange peels, so the bracha is not bird priya eitz, it's shahakol. It's part of the fruit that's normally not eaten. If you want to eat it, so you'll make a shahakol. So raw pumpkin, fine. But we're not focusing on the raw pumpkin, we're going to focus on the barley, on the ground barley. It says over here shahakol. So now, why do we choose ground barley flour? So the Gemara now wants to know. My love, dechite bar pri adama. So the Gemara says, isn't it because had it been wheat which was ground up, the correct bracha would have been a bar pri adama? The Gemara says, lo, dechite nami shakol niyabed varo lishmein dechite v'kol shaken tesare. So the Gemara says, so why not teach me about wheat? Why did you go to barley? So yeshmein dechite havei min hanimil dechite aval tesare lo livrach alay klal kamashmalan. Because the Gemara says, here's the Havamina. You see, barley is inferior, right? We know this to be true. We've seen this so many times. Comparing wheat to barley is the inferior grain. They usually take barley and feed it to the animals. The Gemara in Sota says, and Rashi on the Psukim in Sota say, that the Sota, what does she eat? What type of mincha does she eat? Barley. Right, she behaved in an animalistic way, so therefore she's going to be eaten, given food which is animalistic. So barley is inferior. So since barley already starts second rate, if I take it and reduce it to flour, a havamin of the Gemara is you don't even make a bracha on it at all. So that's why the Rebbe Zera has to go out of his way to tell us that when I take barley and reduce it to flour, there's still going to be a bracha. The bracha is going to be shakal. So the Gemara says, well, really? Meaning even as a havamina, you thought we weren't going to make a bracha on barley, on ground barley? I understand. You drink brine, okay? Nasty. But you drink brine, or you drink salt water, so you're going to make a bracha. So, in other words, anything which is a food, even if it's not the most delicious food in the world, but anything of food, you're going to make a bracha. So did you really entertain for a second that ground barley, you're not going to make a bracha? So the Gemara says, yes. And all we're doing right now is we're just supporting a havamina. It's not the conclusion, but still, it helps us better understand the thought process of the Gemara. Melch v'zamitz avid inish deshad lepume. Because look, people drink salt water. Okay? It's not delicious, but it's done. And people drink brine. But omer shakol niyabed varo, so therefore it would definitely warrant a bracha. But itzrich sakar das chamina, sorry, what did I just do? Yeah. Adishal pume, aval kimcha desare, hol v'kasha lekakuini, lo livrich ala klal. But when you're talking about barley, ground barley, not only is it something which is normally not eaten, it's bad for you. It somehow gives you worms in your digestive system. Now, I don't know, the Gemara is saying is that there's worms in the ground barley, but if that's true, you're not allowed to eat the ground barley at all. Or it attracts worms. I'm not sure how it works. I don't have the biology down, but still, the Gemara says, the basic point of the Gemara is, it's not good, it's not neutral, it's actually bad for you. So I might have thought, therefore, you shouldn't make a bracha at all, kamash malan. Kevin dislehana, minei, bai bruche. But we're going to go back to the point, second time we're making it today. Since you get some benefit from eating the ground barley, so therefore you're going to make a bracha of shahakol. Even though there are some negative ramifications of eating it, but you're benefiting, it's a food, you make a bracha. Okay, kare. Moving on to the next discussion of the Gemara. So we are now talking about kare. Now, to say it's hearts of palm, I don't know. Now, because I just don't know enough. Meaning, I like hearts of palm, by the way. Right? I'll eat it. I'll even like it in the salad. It's okay. So, in other words, we're talking about something that comes off the palm tree, but I'm not sure if we're talking about hearts of palm. I'm just not informed enough. He says it is hearts of palm? Okay. He did research, so why not? So, Kari Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pri Adam Shmuel Amar Shakol Nibid Varo. So the Gemara has a debate about what the correct bracha is to make over it. So this is interesting because basically we're talking about a derivative of a tree that's edible. So Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pri Adam Pri. So Periha who? So we'll start off with Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda says, "Look, this is really easy. I got this one. It's a fruit. It's a derivative of a tree which is edible, so we'll call that a fruit.
How come the heights, the fruit for your heights?
Well,
it's coming from a tree. No?
It's not a real tree. It's like a plant.
It's funny. Intuitively, we all know the answer. I'm just trying to.
It's a banana. It's a plant.
It's right. It's not something that comes and regenerates again and again. It's not like the tree is going to just replenish and regenerate this product. It happens to be edible, but the fruit is something which generates and regenerates, meaning it gives off the fruit. And then next year you go back and it just continues to give it off again. Alright, so it's fine. So it's pre. In other words, we'll call it a pre, and therefore you make a brach of Bor Pri Adama. Ushmul Amar Shakoni Bidvaro. Hold the sofo lahakshos. Well, you leave it there long enough, it's going to get hard. You can't call it a fruit. Right now it's edible. Right now you can eat it. But because if you allow it to stay on the tree and it's going to get hard, so therefore, don't make a bar pri adama, don't call it a pri, so you'll make a shahakol. Meaning basically shahakol is, when it doesn't conform to any particular rule, but I'm going to benefit from it, and it's a food, so you make a shahakol. So here also. So I'm Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinana. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda Shinana, that was his pet nickname for his Talmud, right? Sharp one. Kavasech Mistabra. You're right. I totally see your position. Now, right, remember, by the way, and I point this out nearly every time, Shmuel and Rav Yehuda are currently now engaged in a debate. But they're not debating for the purpose of debating. They're debating for the purpose of seeking the truth. So if Shmuel, who right now is currently arguing with Rav Yehuda, now sees, you know what, I see your point, he will immediately concede, because they're not interested in debating, they're interested in searching the truth. That's known self a lot, just because look, radishes, you leave radishes in the ground, they're going to get so hard, they're going to turn inedible. And meanwhile, mevarchin la bar pri adama. However, you pluck the radishes out, right, while they're still nice and soft. I know they're not really soft, but you know what I mean. In other words, while they're edible, and then you eat a radish, what's the proper bracha? Bar pri adama. So the Gemara says, Shmuel says to his Talmud Rav Yehuda, I think you're right. Meaning, same thing with hearts of palm. Even though they will get hard, but currently they're not, and they're currently a derivative of a tree, so I think you're right, Bar Pri Adama. So, Velohi. The Gemara says, no. Tzno natai inshe adaita de pugla, tigla lo natai inshe adaita de kara. And again, we're going to go back to a point that we made earlier in today's daf. When I plant the radish, I'm planting it for the purpose of eating the radish. Okay? So therefore, Bar Pri Adama. When I plant the palm tree, I'm not planting it for the purposes of the heart of palm. I'm planting it for the tree, the dates, but not for the heart of palm. And so therefore, if I decide to eat the heart of palm, not Bar Pri Adama, but rather Shako. The Gemara says, V'cholhecha dinita inshe adaita da'achla mevarchin alaha. The Gemara says, is that true? Meaning intent of what you're planting it for really is going to determine what the appropriate bracha is. V'haret tzlaf deninta inshe adaita depircha v'tanan. The Gemara says, what about the tzlaf where people planted for the purposes of the fruit, and now we learned the following Mishnah. Now, before we advance this discussion, we are now going to be spending a lot of time talking about tzlaf, the caper bush. Okay, I don't have any direct experience with the caper bush, meaning I have experience of learning this Gemara once before, maybe even twice, but I have no experience about what actually is this caper bush. Now, I know capers, right? Capers I speak, right? We're sophisticated enough in our house, but that's only because of the Rebbetzin, not because of me, where we actually eat capers. But I don't know, I don't have a tree in front of me. It would be helpful for this discussion. In the meantime, let me just prepare us for the Gemara coming up. The caper bush really is made up of four different components. Number one, there are leaves. And apparently these leaves are edible. Number two is that there are berries on the leaves. Connected and attached to the leaves, there's these little berries. These berries are what we're going to call tamar, or tamaris. Okay, then there's the actual fruit that it produces itself, the actual caper fruit. They're called evyonos. And finally, the fruit is covered with a little shell, and the shell is what's called kafrisin. Probably heard that word before. In the Kitaris section.
Yeah, in
right. Okay? So there are now four components to the caper bush, and what's going to be fascinating is, depending on what part of it you eat, will make a determine which bracha you're going to say. Meaning from that very same tree that you take, there are going to be different brachas for different parts of the tree. So follow now. I'm reviewed on Marav. Slav Shal Arla. I skipped. So interested in getting ahead. Okay, v'cholhecha delanata insha adaita da'aklam v'chanel v'aharet slav. Denata insha adaita da'pircha. Now, generally speaking, people plant the caper bush for the purposes of the actual fruit, the caper fruit. Vitzanan. Amine nitzva. Now, when it comes to the caper bush, now it's also called a nitzva, another name for it. Ala alam v'ala tamaris amir bur pri adama. If I eat the edible leaf, or if I eat the berry of the leaf, the bracha is bur pri adama. Va'al ha'evyonos, the al ha'kafrisin, omer bur pri eitz. But if I eat the actual fruit, so bur pri eitz. Right? This goes back to the same discussion we had up by heart of palm. Meaning that eating the tree itself is going to be bur pri adama. It's a product of the ground. Eating the fruit of the tree is going to be bur pri eitz. Okay.
Why eitz? Because it says that it's a bush. If it's a bush, it's not a tree.
Okay, but that's just what we call it. Meaning, whatever we call it doesn't matter. In other words, it's how it behaves. What defines a tree? I'm just going to restate
bush,
your question.
Bush is usually a tree, by the way.
Okay, but we're going to get into a semantic discussion, and let's not get into a semantic discussion. Okay, it's the issue is the way it behaves. If it produces its fruit and then is ready next year to again produce its fruit, so that fruit, whatever that is bar priya eitz. If, however, I could take it off the tree, I can even eat it, but it's not going to regenerate, it's bar priya adama. Okay, the way it behaves is the most important part of this discussion. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Slav not Asar Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. Now, the problem of the Gemara is like this, that when we planted it, for what purposes did we plant it for? So the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, Slav not Inshei Adaita de Shusa. Look, when you planted it, it was for the purposes of not only the fruit, but also the leaves and the berries as well. But diklan olnitza inshei adaita dekora. But when people plant the palm tree, they are not having in mind to plant it for the hearts of palm. V'alvagav dekalsa shmol rav yudal hichzak kavasti deshmol. And the Gemara says, but the halacha falls like shmol, meaning heart of palm. The correct bracha is shakol niyebedvaro. Okay, our hearts of palm are the same. Again, I'm just not informed enough. I don't know enough. But
talking about nowadays, they probably grow trees just for hearts of palm.
Correct. Right. And again, that goes back to my orange juice discussion. Okay. Meaning, right. In other words, here the Gemara is speaking to the idea of intent. If intent plays a major factor in, if I'm planting it for this particular product of the tree, so then when I take it off, so therefore it's now still considered part of the tree. And therefore, the correct bracha would be, again, if it's a fruit, bari priya eitz. If it's a product of the tree, bari priya dama. In other words, but it maintains the same bracha. So, and again, that's why I'm saying, I don't want to make any type of halacha conclusion. But it would seem from the Gemara, and I'm not making a halacha conclusion. But it would seem from the Gemara that once intent changes, you know, universally, globally, so then perhaps, you know, the bracha would then change.
But another thing is that food grows out of a branch of a tree, whereas the heart of palm comes from the main stem. So that's a more fundamental difference between the
two. It's funny, but the Gemara doesn't speak to that. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying, and the Gemara does not speak to that idea. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav. We continue. Sav shal arla b'chutz aretz zorek es avyonos v'ochas ha'kafrisin. Okay. Now arla and chutz aretz. Remember, we just had this discussion yesterday, so we're going to have it again today. Arla applies in chutz aretz. Now, it's interesting. Rashi over here says, divrei sofrim. It's the Rabbanan. Okay. I thought it was Halach Lamoshe Misinai. So, this Rashi confuses me. Okay. I might just have to revisit my own thinking, meaning maybe I'm just wrong, which happens often. So it could be. But anyway, Rashi says it here on this daf twice. That's a the Rabbanan. Whichever.
What's a Rabbanan?
Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so whether. Whatever the point is, Arla outside of Israel is Aser. So, what if you're growing your caper bush outside of Eretz Yisrael? So you throw away the avionos because you can't eat it because it's a fruit, but enjoy the kafrisin, the shells around the caper bush, the actual fruit that you can eat. So the Gemara says, what? What do you mean? Didn't we just say a moment ago that when it comes to the actual fruit of the caper bush, you make a bor priya eitz, not only on the actual fruit, but on the shell around the fruit as well? So if I'm making a bor priya eitz, that means that they're both considered fruit. So now in the world of in the halacha of Arla, should be the same. Meaning I won't be able to eat of the Arla tree outside of Eretz Yisrael, neither the fruit nor the shell around the fruit as well. So who damak Rabbi Kiva did not? Rabbi Lazar Amar Tzlaf Mitaser Tamaros Rabbi Yonos the Kafrisim Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Mitaser Elav Rabbi Yonos Bavad Meim Neshu Pri. So the Gemara says, well, it happens to be on this issue there is a debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishan Masro says that according to Rabbi Kiva, the shell around the actual fruit of the caper bush is not a fruit, and therefore you don't have to take off Trumas HaMaisos over the shell. V'nei Malachik Rabbi Akiva, well, the Gemara says, well, if all you're doing is just referencing a Mishnah and deciding the halacha in that Mishnah, so just say it. Just simply say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Iyamar halachi Rabbi Akiva, hava minafi labaretz kamash malankal, hameka baretz halacha kamosu b'chutz aretz. Hava ba'aretz lo. So the Gemara says no, because I don't want to say that because it'll confuse people. People will then think, well, that's true even in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not. Meaning in Eretz Yisrael, when you're growing your caper bush in Eretz Yisrael, for the first 3 years, you can't eat the fruit, the evyon, neither the kafrisin as well, the shell around. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, remember we just said this yesterday, we have the luxury outside of Eretz Yisrael for any agricultural halacha of picking the kula. Of, in other words, even though in Israel it's not accepted, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, since anyway, the starting point of this halacha is downgraded to a derabanan, and that could explain why Rashi over here is saying it's a derabanan, so therefore we are entitled then to accept any kula, even though that kula is not accepted in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but the Gemara is still bothered. So, but just say it then. Just say that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha falls like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, well, still, it would be a little bit misleading because Meiser, meaning, remember, that Mishnah was not talking about Arla. That Mishnah was talking about Meiser. Now, I'm going to say it the way Rashi says it. The Rambam disagrees, but I'm just going to say it like Rashi. Meiser, Trumas HaMeisers in Israel only applies to grapes, olives, and wheat. That's it. No other produce. So, and Minatorah. What the Chachamim did, the Rabbanan did, is that they legislated to take off Trumas HaMeisers over all other produce. Fine. And so, here in this Mishnah on Meiser, we're having now a discussion of a caper bush, which is obviously not grape, not wine. I'm sorry, not grapes, not olives, not wheat. So therefore, Meiser is only applicable midrabanan. So maybe there we could be more makel. That's why Rabbi Kiva's makel. But when it comes to Arla, which is an Isser de Araisa, for all fruit trees, including the caper bush, so therefore maybe Rabbi Kiva would change his tune, and maybe he would say that not only is the evyon, the fruit of the caper bush, going to be prohibited, but the shell around it as well.
When we say since the all idea of any other besides the three is
right. Right. It's a fair question. It's a very fair question. I don't know. Ravina Ashkechilamarba Ravashi Dekazar Kevyonis Vekachal Kafrisin. Okay, and now we are in story time, but not real story time, meaning this is not like Agadita. This is like, okay, Amoraim in Bavel, where for the first 3 years, he would not eat the avion because it's Arla. You're not allowed to eat fruit outside of the Arla tree. Sorry. You're not allowed to eat fruit of a tree during the first 3 years, even in Chutzaretz, but he would eat the kafrisin, the shells. Apparently, these shells were soft. So Amalei, my daitach, Rabbi Kiva, the make of Alavin, Mark, Kibbeit Shaman, the Mekilat Fei. So the Gemara says, look, I got you, meaning I know what you're thinking, right? You know the machlok between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva, and you know we're in Chutz Aretz, so we have the right to be make like Rabbi Akiva, But I'll tell you what, if that's true, you can even be more makel. Did not slap a chame armim klein bekarim. Ubeisol armim ain klein bekarim. When it comes to the tzlaf, so Beis Shammai says that it is subject to climb. You can't plant tzlaf right next to the vine. And Eilav Eilamodim Shchai Ba'arla, and they both agree that it's subject to the Isser of Arla. Zahagu Fakasha. So the Gemara says, did we understand what just happened over there? No. Amar tzlaf Beis Shammai armim klein bekarim ama min yeriku. Because when Beis Shammai says he can't plant it in a vineyard, it's because what you're doing is you're crossing. You're planting a vegetable right next to the vine. In the meantime, however, it's subject to Arla. Arla applies to what? To fruit trees. So ama min ilanu. So halakasha Beis Shammai tefukim esafkaluhu. So the Gemara says Beis Shammai doesn't know. Meaning the caper bush. Is it a tree or is it a vegetable? Right, the same semantic discussion we were having earlier. But he didn't know, meaning in the agricultural halachas of Arla only applies to tree, Arla doesn't apply to vegetables. I don't know, says Beit Shammai. I don't know what this caper bush is. Is it a tree or is it a vegetable? So, but So for Beit Shammai, what we are now dealing with is, at best, something which may be Arla. I don't know. So now, if we start off with the suffix in Eretz Yisrael, now let's go outside of Eretz Yisrael. So now everything gets downgraded, so we can even eat the fruit of the caper bush even during the first 3 years. Why? Because Beis Shammai says it may not even be a fruit. It may simply be a vegetable. There's no halach of arla by vegetables, it's only by fruit. Locate. You can eat in Syria, meaning right outside of Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz Arutz means even further away. You can eat anything which is possibly Suffolk Arla, which, by the way, explains why. You and I go to the farmer's market and we buy fruit and we make no inquiries. Right? Is that during the first 3 years? We don't know, but why aren't we more cautious? Because of what we just learned right now. The Mishnah Arla says that Safek Arla, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have the right to be Makel. So, because we don't, in other words, it's a Safek and we don't need to investigate on Arla outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's not Midaraisa. So now that that's true, so now we go back to our caper bush. Our caper bush, so the Amoraim involved in the story are Ravina and I forgot Marbar Ravashi. So he says to him, "What are you doing? Only picking out the shells and eating the shells? Enjoy the whole fruit. According to Beit Shammai, it may not even be a fruit. So enjoy." So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Kiva b'makom Rav Elazar avdin kavasei, or Beit Shammai b'makom Beit Hillel eino mishna." Gemara says something fundamental. We've seen this already a number of times. Look. When you're having Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar debating, that's a debate. When you have Beit Shammai versus Beis Hillel, it's not a debate. Beit Shammai's position is so rejected, it's not even considered a minority opinion. Ain't no Mishnah. And so therefore, you can't even rely on the position of Beit Shammai. Even as a kula outside of Eretz Yisrael. The tepuk lay, denasa shomer lepri. So the Gemara says, okay. But shouldn't the shell of the caper bush be at least considered a shomer? V'rachmana amar v'alatam alasos piryo, it's a tafala piryo, u'maynir shomer lepri. And we know the halach of arla not only applies to the fruit, but to the shomer as well. Amarava hecha amrina denasa shomer lepri hecha deisa bein betosh bein b'mechubar. The Gemara says, you really have to come up with a better definition of what a shomer is. A shomer is something which is there both while attached and even after detached. But here, this shell of the caper bush, and again, I know it would be so much better if we had it, but it separates before it comes off the bush. So the Gemara now is going to challenge. Okay, now my time is up. So I'm going to stop over here. So, unfortunately. Okay. We'll continue this tomorrow. We'll finish up the Shomer discussion tomorrow, obviously. Okay? And we will... I knew he was going to do that. Okay, and tomorrow we'll pick it up from where we left off. Okay, we'll stop here. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Marz Kashbaruch Zakusol Fichachir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shana Manei Chafetz Amantziko Yagdil Toravi Adir.